أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين على آله وصحبته أجمعين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of his companions, his family, those who follow them until the end of time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Jumu'ah transformative, powerful, and meaningful, and a means for all of us to draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over the last few days, a number of people contacted me and asked me, especially after the janazah of Ismail Haniyeh rahimahullah, as to the validity of that janazah, because it was led by people who follow Madhab al-Imamiyah, Ja'fariyah, Shia community. And I was asked about this from two perspectives. The first is the assumption that those people, those Muslims, are not Muslim. The second is that because in the janazah there was no recitation of Fatiha, then the janazah was not valid. Honestly, I was somewhat disturbed by these questions, and I think that both questions, while certainly I can understand for people may be important, they reflect a greater problem, and that is the failure to appreciate an opportunity, which I'll talk about at the end. First of all, the issue of making takfir or declaring Shia Muslims as non-Muslim. I'll quote from someone who is often used by Muslims who may lean more to a conservative opinion, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, who, and I'll mention two places, one in Majmu' al-Fatawi, in his answer to a suki about the talaq mu'allaq that was performed by a Shia. The second in Minhaj al-Sunnah, and I believe in the Majmu' al-Fatawa, it's the second volume, page number 659 to 662, I believe. As well in Minhaj al-Sunnah, I don't remember the actual page number, forgive me. But I'm quoting him because he's often used by people to declare even Sunnis as out of Islam. And I think it's a failure for them to understand the writings of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, and then to understand, for example, the Majmu' Fatawi is not something that is considered reliable because of how it was collected. He did not write Majmu' Fatawa. Someone else wrote it, a group of people. But that's another discussion, a longer discussion. But for example, in Minhaj Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, he mentions that they are not disbelievers, even though we have fundamental differences with them, and that amongst them are a large majority, right? The masses, alhamdulillah, are Muslim. And he says they're not munafiqeen, they're not zanadiq, they're not kuffar. This is his quote, and I'm quoting him so that those, I'm sure it comes from a deeply committed passion, but sometimes committed passion without hikmah, it can destroy things and causes us to miss opportunity. As Al-Mutanabbi says, Al-Ra'yu qabra shaja'a shuja'an, right? To think before you're brave is two braveries, right? To think before you act is two actions. So you can go there, you can read what he said, but I'm quoting him out of many we could quote just to kind of cover all the way to the end of sort of this spectrum of voices where someone who's often invoked to even declare Muslims, whether Sunni or Shia, out of Islam, here you see his position. You can read it there. I don't have the quote memorized, and I apologize. As for Salatul Janaza, we know that, as mentioned by Kamal ibn Humam in his explanation of Fathul Qadir, I believe volume 2, page 121. I'm studying Hanafi fiqh now with a mufti in Karachi, so I'm not by any means a master of Hanafi fiqh, but I can quote this for you. He clearly states the statement of Imam Abi Hanifa, rahimahullah, that the Fatiha is not something that has to be recited in the janazah, and it should only only be recited like bi niyati thana, right? As an expression of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the prayer, the janazah, and some consider it dua, by the way, is valid without al-Fatiha. For us Malikis, we know that in the Muwatta, the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he actually prayed the janazah without al-Fatiha from Nafi' to Sayyidina Malik rahimahullah. We also know that in the Mudawwana, you know, I believe it says about وَلَا يُقْرَأ الْفَاتِحَ وَلَا يُقْرَأ عَلَى الْجَنَازَةِ, that Fatiha doesn't have to be recited, it's not recited. And Imam Al-Hattab in Mawahib Al-Jalil ala Mukhtasar Khalil, which is for us a book for fatwa, he also, I think in the second volume, maybe page 21, page 31, he also says that Fatiha does not have to be recited in the prayer. And Imam Ad-Dusuqi in his important book for us, we study it when we study iftah, right? When we study to give fatwa, this is the book we study, Sharh al-Kabir. He mentions very clearly this position. So not reciting al-Fatiha in janazah is not a means to invalidate the janazah according to the Hanafis, according to the Malikis. Imam Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni, and I know that Al-Mughni is not the reliable book amongst the Hanabila, he mentions this also. We know that the Shafis are the ones who say tujabu qira'at al-Fatiha. They're the ones who say that Fatiha has to be recited. So the majority of Sunni jurists do not make reciting Fatiha a stipulation for the validity of the janazah. And I gave you the sources. I'm always open to learn and grow, but this is what I know and what I was taught, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We also know that Al-Azhar, Sheikh Muhammad Shaltut, rahimahullah, he wrote a very, very long fatwa on the permissibility of Sunnis to follow Imamiyya and their ibadah. And that's why in the College of Sharia, we learned many of the opinions of Sadat Ja'fariya, and also we learned the opinions of other Matahib, but specifically because the goal was to make what's called, you know, to make Wihdat Sufuf Muslimi. So we have to be very careful. We should stay away from declaring Shia as kuffar. We saw what happened, I think, in Pakistan a few days ago. We don't know who did it, right? And as Shia, should be careful of those Shia who encourage you to make takfir of Sunnis, although they're a very marginalized group. And we see that the salt of the ummah, the voice of the ummah on this janazah, is what we should learn from. That in Iran, Shia Muslim brothers and sisters in huge numbers gathered to pray over a Sunni. And we saw in Qatar also a large number of Sunnis came to pray over the Sunni. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tajtami'u ummati 'ala ad-dalalah." My community does not agree on falsehood. So stay away from making takfir of any of the people of the Qibla, right? Who say, "La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah." We have our differences. We have to engage and even have tough conversations on these differences. But the lesson that I feel people are missing here is an opportunity for the unity of the Muslims, especially in this moment when so many things are happening to Muslims in a very violent, egregious way. How is it that we could turn this moment to discussing fiqh issues and issues of theology and not appreciating the fact that Muslims came together, and that our strength and our growth is in pragmatic unity that acknowledges our differences, doesn't push them under the rug, has tough conversations amongst imma and the scholars. And someone's asking, how can we have unity with those who curse the Sahaba? That's a conversation that has to happen. But you can find books even written by some great Shia scholars like Bara'at to Aisha, where they declare Aisha is innocent of those things. The book Bara'at al-Faruq, noting that those narrations about Sayyidina Umar, which are too disgusting to mention, are false. Those written by Shia ulama. But especially if someone is not trained, they themselves are not an alim, and they're not able to negotiate and move through the contours of these discussions, why get involved? Let the scholars discuss this. Let the ulama who know the adab and the methods and the periphery to discuss, because God forbid you make takfir of someone who's not kafir. And God forbid you are too intense in your criticism, because you may have heard something from here or there. What I've seen usually from Shia and Sunni polemics on the far side is they quote the anomalies of both communities and present them as the normative, and present it as a norm, which is incorrect. Doesn't mean that we don't have very serious differences that have to be discussed, but not to the level as Sheikh Shatut, he mentioned. Sheikh Shatut knows more than all of us. Ibn Taymiyyah knows more than all of us. Al-Hattab al-Maliki knows more than all of us. Imam Malik, the Mudawwana, they know more than us. I should be humble and not say, well, I can ask questions, of course. I should ask questions. But also there should come a point in time where I say to myself, I am not of the caliber of these people. And that's the challenge of social media. It inflates the ego. And if you're spending your time just watching people attack other Muslims, you are now part of this project to dismantle and destroy and weaken the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That's what Al-Dhahabi mentions in Siyara ala Manubala, quoting his teacher Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahumullah. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah said, I will never make takfir of anyone from the Qibla. This is also the statement for those of us, Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari from the Salaf, rahimahullah, said something very, very similar, also quoted by Al-Dhahabi and Siyar. But the point is, for those people that are up in arms over this, did they even pray Salat al-Ghaib for Hani'a, rahimahullah? Did they even pray for him? Or they're just fighting, arguing, attacking, as one Shia brother mentioned in the comments, that the tal'een of the Sahaba is a majority of the Shia, it's not the majority. That's why I said you have to have strong conversations with people. You have to push in. It's very easy to pass on an evil, everything we hear from people. Just because something's online doesn't mean it's correct. Just because something's online and someone they say something doesn't mean it's right. That's why I mentioned the resources, so that you can look into this for yourself. Same thing for the Mu'tazilites. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah has a very interesting essay that he wrote on the essay of unity. And he said the Sahaba, they prayed janazah on the Mu'tazilites, the Khawarij, excuse me. And they distributed their wealth according to the Sharia inheritance laws, because even though they differed with them and they considered them people of innovation, they still thought they were Muslim. As Imam Ibn Hajar writes brilliantly in the beginning of Fathul Bari, that just because you or I may consider someone as Ahlul Bid'ah doesn't mean they're kufar. That's why Al-Bukhari, he narrates from Shia in Sahih Al-Bukhari. You can check it for yourself. Imam Shafi in his Musnad, Rawa an al-Shi'i. Imam Al-Bukhari in Sahih Al-Bukhari narrates from Al-Jahmiyyah. He narrates from people who were Khariji. He narrates, and even Hajar says something incredible. If we were to throw out all the people that we consider people of innovation, we would have no hadith, let alone even some of the qira'at. So be very, very careful about these issues. And if you haven't studied, and I say this, jarh al-ta'dil, and the shurut of tabdi' and tafsiq, be careful. Because you can be inadvertently used by the agents of Islam to dismantle and weaken our community. What's the lesson that we should have taken from this moment is not this personality, even to, as I mentioned, why I quoted Imam Ibn Taymiyyah for a reason, to calm, if you will, the buoyancy of the Salafi community. It is the wihda of the ummah, the strength and unity of the ummah. The bombs that are killing Muslims don't care what madhab you belong to. They don't care what your sheikh or this, they don't care. The enemies of Islam actually appreciate the power of Muslim unity more than we do. That's why they punish us indiscriminately, whether militarily, whether economically, whether with draconian laws, even within democracies, whether it's going on in republics like France. They don't care what madhab you follow. They don't care who your sheikh is. They don't care if you're Sunni, Shi'i, Mu'tazili. They don't care. They actually appreciate the power of our unity more than we do. So I just wanted to quickly address this issue, because I really felt that people missed the point, some of people, that they got caught up in making takfir of Shia, which you should not do. As a Sunni, you should not do. You should not do without tafsir. There's no takfir illa bi tafsir. But in general, as mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh Shatut, and others, you don't make takfir of these people, even though we have very serious differences. The second issue is that the salah is valid even according to the majority of Sunnis, because Al-Fatiha is not a condition of the janazah. The third issue, as my brother Amir just wrote, why is that the issue? Like, we're facing very serious, you know, universal problems that impact all of us, and we have time to debate on secondary issues. On secondary issues. So I hope, alhamdulillah, that this will bring some balance to the answer. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring wahda amongst the Muslims in a pragmatic way that allows us to bring together real power, economically, politically, communally, to protect ourselves and to strengthen us. And Allah commands us not to be disunited in this way. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, right? Don't divide the essence of your ummah. We may certainly have very serious concerns and issues over discussions that we may have, but I like to ask people, did you actually ask a Sunni imam or sheikh? Did you actually ask a Shia marja or ayatullah? Or did you hear it from somebody online? You have to be very careful, because we will be asked about what we say. We will be asked about the information that we spread. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all to be more responsible, to understand, subhanAllah, the seriousness of this issue. Now, even someone in my comments is talking about Ibn Taymiyyah's mistakes. Akhi, that's not the lesson you need to be taking right now. He may have had 17 mistakes. He may have had 18 things he was right on. That's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bigger issue is, get out of this quicksand of these little particulars about personalities. I remember one time I met one new Muslim. He told me, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali is kafir, a'udhu billah. Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali is deviant, this. Then I said to him, hey man, I became Muslim like you. Can you even read Al-Fatiha correctly? Do you even know how to pray it? And he said, no. He said, subhanAllah, you're making takfir of Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, but you can't pray. Like, you don't even know how to pray, and prayer is fard on you. And so that is the issue. And I love what someone just said, may Allah bless you. My bigger concern is people who didn't pray on him. Like, where are the people who didn't pray on him? That, as Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in Minhaj al-Sunnah, as he mentions, I believe in Minhaj al-Fatawa, it's volume 2, page 659, this discussion between him and Subki about Ta'liq al-Mu'allaq. And he says that they're not kuffar. This is Ibn Taymiyyah. And then we mentioned from Fath al-Qadir of Kamal al-Din ibn Hammam, his explanation that Salat doesn't have to have Fatiha. Sahid Sayyidina Imam al-Hattab al-Maliki, Muwahib al-Jalil ala Mukhtas al-Khalil, he mentions the Fatiha is not something that has to be in Janazah, as well as Ad-Dusuqi on Shah al-Kabir, Sheikh al-Dardir, and Sheikh al-Khalil. So the point is, this issue is not where we should be. What we should be is thinking about the opportunity of unity on an issue. The opportunity of unity that's needed now as we push in, at least here in America, in a very tedious election year. We see what's going on with Muslims in the UK. We see what's happening in France. We see what's happening globally. Yet we have the capacity to argue about secondary issues. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a lesson for the importance of wahda, and to bring us together, and to make us as an ummah who has its differences and pushes through tough differences and doesn't have to agree. But if we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and our ulama are telling us that we are not kuffar, not TikTok personalities and YouTube personalities, but people that have rusukh in the knowledge. The sign of ulama is that they allow us to focus on what's really important, not what's secondary. May Allah increase us and increase you in khair. My apologies for taking too much of your time. If you feel this is important, I encourage you to share with others. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakum allahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.